So since it is a small group, it probably will be a short conversation today, but we'll just get through it and see how it turns out. I just wanted to kind of start it off, as I usually do, with any questions or thoughts or concerns that anybody's been having that I can maybe address now or at least get started on. Is there anything you guys have been seeing in the past month that you think needs some attention?
Well, this is Diane. I guess my biggest question is, on social media, getting people to interact on Facebook. I know LinkedIn is a little bit different, and Twitter is its own monster.
Yeah.
But, I just can't get people to like the posts. I'm posting articles. I'm posting quotes. I'm posting picture quotes. I'm trying to get the people I support to give me some personal stuff that I can put in there, and nobody wants to give me anything personal. So just wondering what everybody else is doing, if they're having the same, issue or challenge that I'm having with getting interaction on the social media.
Right, and I just want to start off with saying that from the national level, since before training I was in the social media position in our marketing department, and just trying to get people on a broad scale to interact is challenging. So it's definitely normal to be experiencing that, even on LinkedIn, which is our main place where we do get the most interaction. But the fact that you're putting pictures with quotes on there, you're putting articles out there, those are going to be good, steady, solid, safe posts that you should continue to do. But as far as encouraging engagement and interaction, the things that tend to get the most attention are going to be photos of the consultant at a grand opening, or photos of them at their seminar, or a booth at a trade show that they're at, or a Meet the Zor, or different things where people can see them actually doing what they're doing in their community. And some examples of that, if I could just share my screen so you guys can see a little bit of what that looks like. Let me log in here to my Facebook so you can see. I've been looking at I follow some of our Fran netters, so I can kind of see the differences of, you know, what's being put out there on their personal accounts versus their business accounts. And I've noticed that more and more people are putting out photos, and I'm really happy about that because it's getting a lot more engagement than those articles, mostly I think just because people can relate to it, they can see them in action. It's a little bit more visually stimulating than an article would be. But take a look at Cindy Rayfield's profile. So this is her personal Facebook. So it's not her FranNet of or Colorado or, you know, anything like that. But she's been putting out photos like this. So she'll be at a SBDC event, and she put out a photo of one of the speakers there, giving a shout-out to a former friend and client talking about her business. Getting ready for a seminar. So it has photos of them gathered around their banners and such. So things like that are going to – see, they have – that has 33-plus likes. And in something that might have come out that's just an article, it's going to be a little harder for people to like that or share it or comment on it. So I always encourage stuff like this. And then We've tried different things like giveaways and polls and posts where we're asking questions, trying to get some sort of action from the people that follow us. But it's definitely an area to experiment in. So I just from working on the national level with the webinars and the different things that we have here, the giveaways that I did were a little challenging because you have to kind of coordinate how you're going to get whatever the prize is to them. But maybe like a gift card. I know that there's some businesses who use like gift cards as the prize, and they just like post the information for the gift card, like as a photo. There's a lot of messing around with that, and I can come up with a topic to kind of go into some more detail about that so that we can kind of get a better idea of what other companies are doing and how it's working for them. But that's just kind of from my point of view. Has anybody else been trying different things and noticed any kind of improvement in engagement?
Hey, Diane, this is Betsy.
Hi, Betsy.
I actually own a marketing company as well. I work for Jerry's one of my clients. So I do a little bit of the social media stuff as well for other things. What we've found as far as Facebook goes in particular is that a lot of people do not interact with him on there, but they come up to him at events and say to him, "Oh, I really like that article you posted." And he, of course, is often caught unaware because he has no idea what's going on. And he usually just kind of plays along until he can figure out what it was. But that happens to us quite a lot with both Twitter and Facebook. So I think what I see with a lot of clients, not just my Framet clients, is that it's almost like the public has been ingrained to believe that if you have an active Facebook page, you know, where you're posting stuff, regardless of if people are interacting with you, that you're a legit business. And so they tend to go and check you out before they come and talk to you in person, either by call or email or going to an event. So it's important to keep that Facebook page active and updated, even though it maybe isn't getting as much traction as you would like. The other thing you want to consider about Facebook is that they've basically made it almost impossible from a business page point of view to get it seen by the people who like your page. Only about 2-4% of people who actually like your business page will see any given post, because there's so many posts and everything being put out there at any given point in time. You have about 1,000 posts available for your newsfeed personally.
Yeah,
so it's a very small percentage who will see it.
Yeah. I do realize that about the algorithms, and knowing that the more people that like or comment, the more your posts are showing. So just trying to get, you know, people to like. I mean, there are some that will like or maybe occasionally do a comment. And I don't do anything with their personal Facebook page, and nobody I support is very active on their personal Facebook page either.
Well, the active part of it is a definite thing that I've tried to solve the mystery of how I can get our Franetters to become more engaged and get that local flair and do something different than what Ralio puts out. Because Ralio is going to help them with that presence, so that when they are out and about and somebody comes up and says they like that article, it might be the Ralio article that's been chugging away every morning at 8 a.m. onto their account. But I really am so glad that you said that, Betsy, because that's what I tell every Franetter who kind of doesn't want to hear about social media. The fact that they have a presence at all is so crucial, because that's just the way the generations are moving toward gathering information. So younger people, as they come in, if they can only check out one place, they're not going to see you as credible as somebody who has a website and all three social media accounts that are active. And they're going to get all that information about them before they even come talk to them or fill out a PFA or a short form or anything like that. So having that visibility, whether it is just articles, like she was saying, is super crucial. So it's anything that you can do to add on to that that's a little different. So photos are one thing. Video is another. And different ways of getting people and to stop scrolling, so that if they do by chance get to see your post out of all the posts that are populating on their accounts, that it catches their eye and keeps their attention for more than a couple seconds, or else they'll just keep scrolling. So it's trying to figure out a way to engage them long enough to have them stick around to see what your post is about. So we're working on ways, and we actually, just so you all know, we actually hired a new person for my old position. So we'll have a new person. His name is Parker Stratton. He'll be coming in to fill that social media position. And he actually has a really nice social media background, so he might be able to offer us some more ideas, which we can definitely have a call with him once he gets a little bit more situated on maybe some of these ideas that he has and how we can change up the post a little bit that, you know, maybe doesn't require too much more effort, but will have a little bit more return on engagement at least. So a definite thing to keep in mind, and I'm really glad that you brought that up. Does anybody else have anything they want to add to that topic?
I have one thing I can add, too, that we just started doing, and honestly, I don't know how well it'll work, but it's a way to pull the personal connection into the business pages. I do Jerry and Barney, and so I with both of them, I've been posting posts on LinkedIn, which you can then share over to Twitter and Facebook as well. So when I share a LinkedIn post from one of them, let's say from Barney, then I go over and I go to share it onto Facebook, and I literally type it in as being join Barney, and I tag him in that, like on his personal page. So join Barney over on LinkedIn this morning as he's talking about whatever it is he's talking about. So it's being seen not only by the people who hopefully like his business page, but also people who have connected with him individually because he's tagged in it.
Yeah, that's good. And I just double check with your consultant to make sure that it's okay you're tagging their personal page.
Yes, I do.
Yep. Just in case, because I know some people want to keep it completely separate. Others are more willing to have that happen. But that's a really, if they're comfortable with it, that's a wonderful way to just expand the amount of people that will see it for sure without coming across as pushy and then, you know, trying to get them on their personal page to always do business things. So that's a good way to do it.
Okay, neither Jerry nor Barney is remotely active on social media. His personal pages as business, which I'm in the process of trying to fix right now. So, you know, they're fine with it. But, yes, I would definitely check first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I'm finding, too, is the people that I support aren't active on social media. LinkedIn more than Facebook or Twitter, but they're not active on their personal or on their business, either one. It's I'm doing everything, and, you know, just I go out and I look, and because I run my own as well, and I have tons of interaction on my business page and my personal page, and then I look at theirs, and I go, I don't know what else I can do because I post a lot of personal stuff on mine.
Right, and that's the difference. I mean, and first off, like, great job for having a ton of interaction. That's really awesome, and it's because you're putting your own touch on it, and your own voice, and you're adding more to the mix. So, I mean, the people that are kind of, you know, deserted their social media to you guys or to Ralio, they're not going to get the engagement that you're looking for, and it's going to be really hard for you to do that for them in every aspect because there's just some things that they would have to add their own flair to get that kind of reaction. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot you can do, but there's some things that, you know, there's only so much you can do also at the same on the other hand. So
right.
We'll kind of work on that question a little bit more. I'll come back on our next call with some kind of different ways to think about that. I'm going to have to dig a little bit deeper and come up with some ideas too. And I'll work with our new guy to see if he hasn't got some ideas off the top of his head. And we'll try to figure out some ways. It's definitely an ongoing topic, especially since the social media atmosphere is always changing as well, and what people are clicking on is always changing. But we will definitely explore that a little bit more.
Definitely agree with Megan, though, that the that videos and images tend to get much more interaction. I mean, the typical person has an attention span of about 8 seconds, so if you don't grab them in that first 8 seconds, you've lost them. So, you know, being a visual person and being able to see an image or a video right off really does help with that. And if you have people like mine who neither one of them want to make videos that feature themselves, there are ways around that. You know, you can use like I just did one not too long ago that was a PowerPoint presentation that I turned into a video.
Awesome. Excellent. Yeah. That's one way to do it. It doesn't always have to be them featured, for sure. Yep. So speaking of social media, and if anybody has any more thoughts on that topic, feel free to pipe in at any time. But this kind of brings up Ralio. Does everybody here feel comfortable with Ralio? Is there anything in that system that you wish you knew a little bit more about, or is everyone at a good place there?
I would like to know why Ralio disconnects LinkedIn profiles every 6 months.
Okay. So Ralio is really great at pulling statistics from Facebook and Twitter. And the only thing about LinkedIn is when you log in, not only will it disconnect every few months, but it will not be able to pull the statistics because LinkedIn has security measures in place that prohibit third-party companies from coming in and taking that statistic information and all the analytics. And it also, the security measure boots it off just in case that company is either, you know, it's all part of making sure that your LinkedIn profile is secure and everything that is connected to is meant to be connected to it and it's being actively used. So it kind of just, the LinkedIn account itself is doing that. And so that's why you get those disconnection notices, and I also get the disconnection notices. And just so everybody knows, I think that from here on out, everyone can pretty much ignore those disconnection emails because I go in there and do that, and then soon Parker will be coming in here and doing that for you. That's just kind of part of the social media person managing Ralio. So you don't have to worry about those. Of course, if you want to go in there and connect it again, if that's just easier, then by all means, go for it. But we will take care of that here for you. But yeah, it is just part of LinkedIn and trying to make sure the security measures are all in place and all the things are what it needs to be.
So it's, you're saying it's from the LinkedIn side, it's kicking a third party.
Yep.
Off? Because I use a different social media program that does posting for me that's never been kicked off.
Really?
And I do like 4 or 5 different LinkedIn accounts off of it.
That is crazy. That's what Ralio's explanation was. They told us that LinkedIn security measures kicked him off.
Huh. Maybe I'm just
that is interesting. Nevertheless, whatever the true cause, that's what I thought it was, but nevertheless, when it does get booted off, we will connect that for you. So not to worry about it. And then does everybody know how to look for the analytics in LinkedIn if you're trying to find those? I can show you real quick if you need me to.
Yeah.
In LinkedIn? Yeah, go ahead and show us because
all right.
I may not be thinking of the same thing.
LinkedIn, let me get in there. Let me know if anybody can't see my screen. Should be able to now. Okay, so this is the homepage, of course, and when you are trying to find your analytics, let's see if I can't remember this. All right, so they might have changed it a little bit on me. Let's see. Go to your profile. All right. Okay. So what I did was I went to the profile, and when you're scrolling down and you get to posts, view stats is right here. When I click on that, it'll bring me to the post, but it also gives me the ability to see who's viewed my profile and how I rank in profile views. And then also on the post, it gives me an idea of the engagement, when I was getting some page views, who's responding to your posts. Now, I don't have a very active post here on my LinkedIn, But if you guys are taking maybe what the FranNet blog is putting out and sharing it on the post, or if your consultant has a personal website and they have a personal blog and you want to share it on the LinkedIn Pulse, which is basically you put these posts in there and you put a few tags and it goes into the LinkedIn Pulse, which, by the way, the LinkedIn Pulse may seem kind of like the rest of social media where nothing really happens, but I did have Leslie Cuban tell me once that she actually got a deal from an article where she was featured in a LinkedIn Pulse post. I'm trying to say that 5 times fast. So the post itself was written by somebody else, but it talked about her, and a client saw that, and it eventually led to a deal. So diversifying the blog posts by putting them into here is one way to kind of help out in sharing that information. And if anybody ever wants to do a feature on your consultant, you know, that's one thing that if it's on social media, there is possible, you know, that a client could see that and eventually end up coming to them and buying a business. So it's just another great tool to share information and for credibility. So, and it's just one way for you to kind of see what your posts are doing. Now let me see if I can't find where.
It's under profiles, and then post your profile. It's another way to add the same page.
What were you saying? One more time.
Oh, if you go to like profile at the top, and then you go to your profile, that's a piece of the same analytics page.
Right.
I don't know if that's what you're going for.
Thank you. Yes. So. And it goes down here to people you can message and all that good stuff. So it kind of gives you an idea. So if you're ever in Ralio and you're like, well, that's sad, I can't see any of this, you could go to the profile and see it here. Is there any other questions about Ralio while we're here in Ralio?
One thing I had a question about was just, is there a way to do multiple or like schedule multiple postings of the same post? Because sometimes, like, if we're doing an event, like, I could just post the same event post, if you will, like, multiple times, because I don't necessarily need to change it up. And as we already kind of stated, it might not show to everyone the first time, and kind of, like, doing it a few times a day before like, leading up to the event. But in Ralio, I've just seen, like, you can do it once, and then you have to, like, go in the, like, database and post it again. But is there a way to just do it together all at once?
So you're right about the fact that when you want to create a post, and let's this one kind of already has something in there. So you do create it, and it shows up in your database, right? So if you ever, and I'm just going to go to the FranNet one so you can see a full database. See if I can't go to my database. Okay, so you can copy the post. There isn't a way when you're creating a post to make multiple of it and have it show up. Like, you can't, like, click, I want 5 of these of the same thing to go out. So if you were to go into the database, though, and click this little button here to the side and click copy, then it would pull it and just take... It kind of happened fast there, but it literally just copied it. It didn't pull down anything. It didn't take you to anywhere. It literally just took the same post with all the same information and copied it.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have to go in there and change the dates, but it's kind of a quick way if you have a ton of links and text and photos and everything's all set up and you just want to copy and maybe change a little bit about it. That's kind of one way to do it.
Okay.
But... not quite as streamlined, but still one way to get it done.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Anybody else have questions about Ralio? Okay. As always, let me know, and then we can definitely, I can do a Ralio tour. I can help you out in any other way if you need. But that's just one thing to keep in mind. And then I had a question, so... as I'm going through new associates training with some of these new people that are coming in for our next training, some of them are asking about people who have availability for assistance. And I just kind of wanted to clarify, and I think that everybody who's on this call, let me see, We have Kelly. I don't know if you've sent me anything, but I know that Betsy and Bevan or Diane, let's see, you both were okay with adding more people. Is that still good?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, and Kelly, how about you?
I'm not, only because I already really work with five.
Okay.
I do all of Claire's team, and I'm kind of tapped out.
Good. Okay. Yeah, totally. I just wanted to clarify and make sure that was still the way it was. And
yeah.
I'm sending them over that information. And if it ever changes where you want to take somebody on or if somebody leaves, you want another person to fill their space, just let me know, because I am getting requests from the new associates about assistance. So it's just kind of something I wanted to double check with you guys. And then let's see. So we had – I think it was one of our first calls where we talked about the Boots to Business event. I did not write down who said that, sadly.
That was me.
Was it Betsy?
That was me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did that go well? Can we kind of get an update on what that was like?
Well, I can give you an update next month. I can't really give you an update right now because we're still in the middle of trying to handle some stuff from it.
Okay.
But remind me next month, and I will fill you in.
Perfect. Cool. Okay. Another thing is anchoring in templates. So I'm not sure if many people here know what anchoring is in the Brand Connect templates, but in case anybody has been trying to do that, there seems to be a bug with it. I know that Bevan was trying to work with some templates and getting anchors set in there, and every time she would change some of the things in the code, it would just kind of flip back to whatever it originally was. So if anybody's trying to work with that, it's going to be looked into a little bit further just so that doesn't happen, and then we can talk about anchoring if we need to on the next call, and I could kind of have Bevan go through what she does in that regard. Is everybody open to that topic?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, good. Okay, we'll talk about that then in the next call. And then I was thinking for further topics, if you guys are interested. So I have been getting some, it's not many requests, but sometimes when people have webinars, there's some technical difficulties which causes them to have to pause and then restart the webinar. So they have two recordings of the same webinar, and they send me the two recordings. And I have no problem editing that. That is completely fine if you want to send me, if that happens, that technical difficulties are definitely something that could happen to anybody, and most people would rather just have one full recording. So if you do experience that trouble, you can send it to me, or I can also tell you how to fix it on your own laptop. The only thing is I use iMovie, which I believe is only a Mac app. So I can either talk about this on a call, or I can do a video for you guys. Do you think which would be most helpful for you, if at all?
I think whatever's easiest for you necessarily, but I think just talking about it on a call, like with webinar and like screen sharing, could be beneficial.
Okay. Yeah.
My other question, though, regarding this topic is, so the way that I had understood it is the reason that at least we send our webinar recordings to you to like host them is because we can't keep them on ReadyTalk because they have a fee associated with it that like our team doesn't want to pay for. But then
right.
Also, I've seen others like put it on YouTube, or like, is that like in addition to hosting with you? Is that instead of hosting with you? Like, how
so
does
all,
that?
Yeah, good question. So everybody who does a webinar and sends it to us to get hosted, that is just a, because you said ReadyTalk does charge for recordings that are left in that basket for too long. So just to kind of make that, to keep that clean and keep that cleared, they do send it over to us and we get it up there. The YouTube thing is a step that I think they are taking personally. I don't think that Jerome is putting all the recordings to YouTube, especially since a lot of these are probably local webinars and local topics. So the national webinars, of course, are put out and sent to you guys, but I think what the YouTube thing is just them trying to take that content and put it on their own YouTube page. And I can also walk through how to do that as well.
Yeah, that could be helpful.
Great, yeah. It's pretty easy, thankfully. And mostly you just drag and drop some things, so it's not too bad, and we'll go over that on the next call. So I'm glad that you guys would like to do that. I think that would be really great for everybody. So let me just put a little note here. So YouTube, webinars, and cutting video, and I'll kind of go over that, and then I can create a little cheat sheet to that as well. I'm not familiar with, I mean, I am familiar with Final Cut, but I know that it takes forever for some reason for Final Cut Pro to put these two different recordings together. iMovie does it in like 2 seconds, and Photoshop says it takes 15 hours for it to make one again. So I'm still looking for a program that would be compatible with any laptop, but just right now I know that iMovie works, so I'll go over that and then keep my eye out for something that would be good for anybody's laptop. But we'll kind of go over that for the next call too. And I kind of just pulled some topics from some past calls and some things that I've been thinking about. So resume mining and reports and pivot tables were two things that were mentioned before in some earlier calls that you guys did with Tracy. Are these some things that you want to revisit, or do you guys feel pretty comfortable with these two topics now? I'm going to take that as you feel comfortable with it. So if at any point you feel like you want to learn more about resume mining, just let me know. Carol has done extensive work with this, and I think this has definitely come a long way since the first couple calls that you guys had talking about it. I think there's some new things to learn here. So if this ever becomes something you guys want to spend some time on, just let me know, and I can get Carol to give us a little overview of it. And then at any point you guys need more information on the reports or anything in FranConnect, please do let me know. I will get that also set up. But I was also thinking that SEO best practices is another thing that would be good to talk about, just different ways that you can make your, if you guys do the blogging, make that stronger, social media posts even, just different ways of all the content in any different form that you're putting out, kind of making sure that you're trying to align that with the best SEO you can. So we can talk about this if we need to. And then possibly some tracking and just kind of seeing how people keep everything organized and what the goals are lined up and how that's seen and stuff like that. So those are just some ideas that I had. And if anybody has any thoughts on those, or if they have any thoughts on other topics that they'd like to see, feel free to share.
I think related to maybe SEO and if people are doing blogging other than the FranNet headquarters blog, I think it could be beneficial to try to create a list or a running list of people who are actually doing their own blogging and doing their own website. Just because I just went through everyone's microsite recently, because we're trying to kind of get that going for some of our team members, and I went through everyone's microsites, and I just saw that some people have their microsites super fleshed out and super working for them and a local blog link, and some people have nothing and no events coming up and nothing happening. Yep. So I guess I'm just, it'd be interesting to see if people are doing outside stuff than the headquarters, getting those links so that we can kind of share and benefit each other.
I agree, yes, and I definitely agree with the comment on the microsites. I do encourage people when they're writing those bios to consider the fact that they want to use keywords, and all the great SEO practices can be applied there as well, and the fact that they need to put local events in there, and the blog automatically connects to the national blog, but to put your own in there, I highly encourage that always. But I will get that information out to you guys. It might take a little while to collect it, but I should have it by the next call. It shouldn't take that long. So I could get some idea of And there's not too many people that have a personal website at the moment. I know that a lot of people are trying to experiment with this, and some people are still trying to be convinced of the value, which I think there's a very large value to having your personal website out there and having your own blog. But only a few people have personal websites, but I will get you a list of that so you guys can kind of take a look at it and see what's being put out there and how they're managing it.
So, Megan, are you saying that you can have your own blog on the microsite?
Yeah, so let me show you an example of that. Okay. So here is Ted Fireman's microsite. Now, I'm not a fan of his headshot. I've said this to him. I think that this was probably taken in his office. But what his blog is, this is actually the FriendNet blog, okay, is, maybe you put it down here. I remember. Let's see. Here we go. Maybe he put it in news. Nope. Okay. Well, here's his website. Here's his personal website. And he has his running blog here. I thought he had connected it to his microsite. I thought he had changed that link out, but his blog covers business topics that are related to Louisiana, and it kind of covers what's going on in that economy and how franchising makes sense for Louisiana community. And he takes these posts and then puts them into LinkedIn as well. And he writes all of these himself because he used to have a social media person doing this for him, but now he kind of wants to take it over. But if he wanted to, he could create another tab here that connected to his website, and it could go straight to his blog. So that's another way he could add a tab here that had Louisiana news or whatever, you could call it TED Talks or something, and he could have the link go straight to his blog on his personal website.
Okay, but you have to have a personal website for this to
right.
work. It just can't be like where it says blog there. That's actually the national headquarters blog, right?
Right, so this is, okay, interesting. Going to have to look into that. But this is the franet.com blog, and if you were to connect it to a different blog, now, if your consultant has, like, it doesn't have to be a personal website. It could be wherever their blog is hosted. So maybe they just have a blog site. That's one way to do it. If they want to start a blog but they don't have the money or the patience to create an entire website, maybe they just go to, like, WordPress or something or some sort of site where you can create your own blog. And then as long as there's a URL that you can attach to the tab that you create, then that'll work too.
Okay.
Do we have a timeline on when the new website's rolling out?
Are you talking about the franet.com one?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I asked that question the other day from John Blair, and he says they're still trying to get the content written. I think the site itself is kind of just waiting to be filled. So it's definitely coming near the end stages, but as far as the timeline, I haven't been given any definite or even kind of tentative dates. But I can follow up with that on you. I can ask John to see if he does have an idea of the timeline. I know it's got to be getting kind of toward the end here since all they need to do is finish up some content and then get it in there. So I will follow up with that. And I can send that out to you guys when I get the answer, which should be Monday because he's not in here today, but he will be on Monday. So
I also have a question kind of to everyone. Is there anyone who has a template that they use for webinars
that has had a pretty good success rate with getting dead leads to reengage.
Ooh. Anybody want to take a stab at that?
This is Diane, and we've been doing the Lunch and Learn webinars with one of my clients for about a year and a half. And I can't say I have a specific template that I use, but when I guess I word it to get some of the dead leads interested in opening it up. Now, we have gotten several dead leads reactivated, and we've gotten a couple closed deals from those dead leads. But we're consistent every month in doing the Lunch and Learns.
Yeah.
We just haven't had a lot of good success at getting, dead leads to come back in. I mean, Jerry's got a database of like 3,000 dead leads that are just sitting there, but I can't seem to get their attention very well. And that's not for Lunch and Learns. That's just for webinars, like the monthly webinars.
Yeah, we've had more luck reactivating the dead leads on our monthly local Lunch and Learns than getting them reactivated to the national webinars.
Yeah. I think that the Change Your Life Over Lunch thing is definitely making some progress. Maybe when there wasn't any at all. And by progress, it could be a couple of dead leads have been drawn back in, or it could be a ton of dead leads have been drawn back in. I think it's kind of definitely varying on the people and the frequency of which they're sending them out and all of those variables. But has everyone seen the template that's pulled up now from Stacey Swift's webinar?
No.
I have not seen
okay.
it until right
so this
now.
This is the one that she uses, and she actually asked that I make it public for everybody. So she's got it in here as CYLOL Stacey Swift Public Template 2016, and this is just a template in the public templates area of FranConnect. And basically, it kind of gives you a nice kind of the bones if you want to make some changes on the content, or if you don't, if you want to scrap it, you just kind of want to use this as a base of some kind. This is one way that it's being promoted. It's got a catchy subject. It's got a fast five. It's short and sweet. And it's got her contact information. I mean, it's pretty similar to a lot of the other templates, but I think it's a nice way to kind of get the information out there without bogging them down with too much information right off the bat, and it seems to be working for her really well. So if you guys want to see this template and maybe modify it to your own taste and needs, that might help with the Lunch and Learn, unless you already have one already established, but that's just an option for you. But as far as re-engaging dead leads,
And that one, Megan, you said is just it's loose in the public templates. It's not in any particular folder.
Yeah, it's currently, yeah, I probably need to fix what folder that's in. There really wasn't like a miscellaneous folder. It's kind of just loose floating around right there. But what I'll do is I'll change the folder so that it's in, I'll give you guys a direct place to go to so you can see. It would be easier to find. I'll find a place for it. But right now it's just floating in public templates.
Okay.
But the name of it is CYLOL Stacey Swift Public Template 2016. If you want to search for it in there, maybe that'll be quicker. But I'll put it in a folder so it'll be easier for you guys. It's currently in her folder.
I like that one with the fast five. That seems to
yeah. I was a little catchier to have it written out like that. But dead leads is another good topic to kind of see what kind of, the next call, if we have a little bit, more perspectives and different techniques that people are using, we can kind of bring that up again, and I'll come back with some ideas as well. So I'm going to put that on the agenda for next.
Dead leads, I've been doing a lot of, research into email lists and just kind of, how to structure your database and, like, how to kind of create different groups depending on, like, their status or where they're located or kind of how that all kind of comes together. And there's just a lot, I feel like there's a lot of, like, information related to, like, how to use your database and how you could then say, oh, like, if they're a deadbeat, who, like, it's how far you can park it down to really try to, like, get those leads back to the gate. I don't know. I guess I'm just saying, like, I've been doing research on it, and I could just kind of present some general information that I find, or, like, have a tweet about it. Because I don't know. I was just, it'd be interesting to hear what others are doing about, like, this, and, like, how to re-engage them. But then, I like, some of the research I've done is, like, depending on your email list and group, like, that could also help.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, we'll talk more about that, too, to see if we can't get some more people to share on what they do. And I'll kind of reach out to some consultants and see if I can get ideas from them as well. So we'll come back with a little bit more about dead leads, but it's definitely an area to think more about as well. Okay, is there any other thoughts or topic ideas or questions or topics you'd like to cover for the next call? Okay. I think we got a lot of good things going there for June. I was like, what is next month? What is this month? Okay, so that'll do it for this call, unless anybody has anything else. If, of course, anything happens, let me know. Email me. I'll be happy to respond and get it on the agenda if you need it. And hopefully you have a great rest of your day and a great weekend.
What's the date of the June call, Megan?
I will be sending out another round of dates for everybody to choose from, since we have only gotten up to this point. So we'll schedule out the next three calls like we did. So I will be getting a kind of survey from everybody and then kind of confirm those dates once I get a better idea of what people have available.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Megan.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.